If we looked at the Bible and let's say that right here is creation, and way over here on this side of this continuum is today, where are we this very moment? Well, we're right here, we said. We're not back over here. Noah, Abraham, Moses, maybe the first century along in here, Paul, Peter, John. We could begin to point at any of these spots on this continuum, and we would be able to look at the Bible and say, that's the period of time that God is addressing right now. We could read, for an example, in Acts chapter 7 and 8, and we would say, Paul, he was known at that time as Saul, and he was persecuting and lending his support, and Stephen died as a result. I want us today to go back to the Old Testament, way back over here. Now, there are some that very, I think, unwisely don't really love to look at the Old Testament. But there's such great value. We can learn so very much by examining portions of what took place back then, how God dealt with people back then, and it'll help us. It will, you said, wait a minute, they lived under a different law, and we live, yes, that's true. It was a different law then, but how God dealt with them and some of the lessons that we can learn from what took place back then can literally be almost parallel to our lives today and what God requires of us. We learn much. I have before me too much to cover this morning. I'm not even 100% sure and covered this morning and this afternoon. But I want to draw out some great points. And in order to do that, we almost need to get a little bit better view of what was the time of which we're referring. Bryce read in Joshua chapter 24. And what a great chapter that is when Joshua was pleading to the people then. He posed before their eyes, you can choose to serve the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, the God of your fathers before the flood, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. They had a decision to make. The people said, we will love and we'll serve the Lord. When I read that, as I listened to even Bryce a moment ago read it for us, I think, wow, isn't that great? Here was a people at that time that heard Joshua, had been influenced by Joshua. What a great leader of the people was Joshua. And Joshua knew that he was dying. And Joshua pled for the people to serve the Lord. And they said, we're going to do that. In the reading of Joshua 24, around verse 30 and 31, the Bible tells us that the people who lived then, who even lived longer than what Joshua did, outlived him, they continued to serve the Lord. Wow. Oh, but it doesn't end there. Judges follows Joshua in the Bible, and chronologically it also follows in time, because we can turn to the book of Judges, that which is our study today, and we can read some things that are pretty revealing. I have my Bible turned to the book of Judges now, and I'd like to ask you to join me just briefly. And I could take the whole time this morning and read nothing but portions of the book, but for an economy of time, allow me to say, verse 2, No, it said, verse 1, after the death of Joshua came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites? Here their leader had died. Who are we going to follow now, they were saying. Verse 2, and the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. And Judah said unto Simeon, his brother, come up with me into the lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites. Well, the next several verses goes into details concerning the enemy and the various nations that were around them and various ones that they should fight against. Drop down to verse 19. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drove them out, the inhabitants of the mountain. But could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron, and they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said. And he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites. That's verse 21. Go down to verse 27. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bashan. Drop on down to verse 33. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Bethshemesh. But instead they became their tributaries, the latter part of verse 33. And we keep reading. God had told them, drive them out. They are the inhabitants, but I'm giving you this land. They didn't do it. Now go to chapter 2 in the book of Judges. And an angel of the Lord came unto Gilgal, the Boshim, and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no league, no agreement, no covenant. You shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You're not to get together with them. They're evil. You're to drive them out. He said, the inhabitants of the land, and you shall throw down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? He said. We come to verse 6. When Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. What was stated in Joshua 20:24 is about to now be repeated in Judges chapter 2. It's kind of rehearsing of what took place. All the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord and that he had done in Israel. Verse 7. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. Just what Bryce read for us a moment ago. Drop down to verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor the works which he had done for Israel. We have praised the people. They said, the decision is ours. We're going to choose rightly. We're going to serve the Lord. And they did that. And Joshua died. And they even served the Lord after Joshua died, during the time that those that had outlived. But then that generation passed. And there arose another generation that did not know God. Pause just for a moment. You talking about a powerful lesson that should face us squarely? We must make sure that we do not raise up a generation that does not know God. As parents, we're obligated to teach our children, Deuteronomy 6, Ephesians 6. We've got to help them to know God and know God's way and God's word. And the tragedy of this happening. Oh, but it doesn't end there. Verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them up out of Egypt. And they followed other gods. Verse 13. And they forsook the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth. Verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of the enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them. He was greatly distressed against them. The latter part of verse 15 says, look at 16. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a whoring after other gods. They bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked, obeying the commandments of the Lord their fathers did, but they did not do that. Verse 20, and the angel of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and they have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel. Listen carefully. This is so crucial. That through them I may prove Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers kept it, or not. God is still in control. And God is angry with them, greatly distressed against them. And God is saying, I'm going to do this to see if they're going to serve me or not. They're going to do what's right or not. Drop down to verse 4 of chapter 3. And they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hence hearken unto the commandments of the Lord which he commanded their fathers. But then look at verse 7. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God. And they served Balaam and the groves. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. Verse 12 of chapter 3. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Go to chapter 4. Look at the first verse. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. Go to chapter 6. Look at the first verse. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian 7 years. I could read much further. And even on page 4 of your lesson sheet, the cycles that they go through time after time after time, which we'll look at more in detail when we get there. This is what existed then. Now, I want to pause everything. I want to stop that examination to make this point. Is it not true that we as people who are on the earth now are doing quite similarly to what the people did then? I cannot say it broad sweepingly 100%, but in days of old, many of our parents, our grandparents, served the Lord. In the 1950s and 60s, the Church of Christ was growing faster than any religion that existed. We cannot say, by and large, as widely, that we're now serving the Lord and we're not growing. Quite the opposite. We can say that by and large We're not serving God. We're not doing His commandments. We've turned aside. We're thinking in terms of worldly things, carnal things. We want to have it our way. We want to do what's in right in our sight. Just like they did then. I believe the book of Judges is one of the greatest, it's hard to say, it's the one I'm reading right now, a powerful book, a great lesson, many, many lessons from it. You can look on the very top of page 2, Judges is compared, correctly compared to Galatians. The apostasy began soon after their conversion to Christ. They turned to false teachers, Galatians 1. They turned to false gods, Galatians 4. They departed from God very quickly, Galatians 3. And it's similarly taking place here for Israel. So it's not just in the long ago on this continuum, not way back here only. It was in the first century too. And it's in the 21st century also. The book of Judges, as you can see on your outline, is named because of the judges. Now, the word was used then quite differently than it is now. It was used more then that God was the spokesman, God was the one that was commanded, and judges was kind of the lieutenants. They were helping to get the message, as it were, to be the spokesman executing the will of God. The book of Judges, statistically, let me just tell you this, covers a timeline from Joshua to Samuel. It covers a span of time about 300 years. In this continuum I was talking about 300 years. It appropriately is known as the Dark Ages. A sad account. They were faithful to God, but deterioration started. People turned away from God. Digression. Decay. That led ultimately to their defeat. We have this historical record of the people of God at one time being faithful, now they're not. And God, in His inspired, great, powerful Word, documents this for us. We're told that if we're not a student of history, we're doomed to fail again in the same ways that others before us failed. We're doing that. I have never read Gibbon's book on the rise and fall of the Roman Empire from cover to cover, but I've read a good bit of it. Mr. Gibbons points out 5 basic reasons why the great, powerful Roman Empire fell. And folks, if you read that, you'd think they were almost talking about exactly the conditions that prevail today. Politically, recreationally, they were obsessed with sports. Militarily, obsessed with material things. Sounds like I'm talking about right today, doesn't it? What are some lessons we can learn? I've got a dozen of them all together. Number one, God's people failed to teach and train their generation. I've already made a point about it, but allow me to elaborate on it, and that is every generation of parents have upon their shoulders the responsibility, the obligation, the absolute duty of helping their children, grandchildren, and all that come after them to know God. We're going to give an account. We're going to stand before God one day, and just in the role of parents teaching children, we're going to answer to God. not only the words that maybe come out of our mouth, but the example that our children see. We don't want them to merely hear the words, but not see what we're doing potentially contradict our words. We've got to help them to see God and the reason to serve God and love God and submit to God's will. We've got to help them to be righteous in God's sight. They fail to do that. And we see the result of that. I mean, the anger of God was kindled against them. He was greatly distressed against them. God wasn't about to tolerate their turning blind eyes and walking away from God and His way. Now, may I go ahead and say, the loving God that He is offered to them the option of coming back and serving Him again and putting away their evil ways. And He will to us as well. Lesson 2. You know, we've often wondered, why does God allow evil nations to exist, and why didn't He just wipe them off the face of the earth? Well, even then, God allowed these heathen nations. We can look at chapter 2 only, and it gives us a complete, accurate overview of kind of the whole book of Judges, because there's that cycle. They're right with God. They begin to fall away, take for granted. Then finally they become captive. They cry out to God. God hears their cries. God delivers them. They come back in a right relationship. And it isn't long again, they start the same cycle again. And God uses evil nations at time to teach lessons to His people. Now don't get me wrong. Don't read in between what I've said anything else than what I've said. I can see that, the point I just made. Is that what God is doing right now to us in America? I can't say that. You see, the providence of God, the hand of God, so superior than anything I might be able to know or think I know, and thus for me to put my finger on something and say, that's God. I can't do that. But neither can I say it's not. The anger of God was kindled against His people, Israel. And He allowed the Midianites, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, etc., to rise up, as it were, and to suppress the people until they cried out to Him for deliverance. You see, God's in control. Point 3. God raised up judges to deliver Israel from the hands. The people were crying out. Some of the most pitiful verses in all of the Bible of the people that says, in essence, the gist of which we would summarize this way, God help us. We cannot help ourselves. Please, God, have mercy upon us. Please, God, deliver us. You know the way I see things? It would make sense for God to have said to them, you got yourself in this mess, you get yourself out. I have made my will known to you, I blessed you, I brought you out of Egyptian bondage over and over. I'm through with you. God didn't do that. God, you see, had those whom He conveyed His message, His plea, His displeasure and anger to them. And He pled with them to come back. Oh, they were faced with a decision again at that point, just like many times that had gone before. They could choose God or they could choose evil. They could choose God or choose like the nations around them. How tragic it is that many times they did not make the right decision. How tragic it is today that many times we do not make the right decision. You know, this is a type of sermon that I wish I could just go a couple of hours and elaborate, make the points, draw it all together, the summary, and close it. But to be fair to everybody, I'm not going to do that. But I do hope that you'll be here at 5, and we're going to explore more of these great lessons. And folks, it might be that it is the best lesson that we've had in a long time, because God is speaking by way of example of Israel then and making a plea for them to come back to Him as He is for us. In a moment, Mark is going to come lead us in a song. We call it an invitation song. Christ invites us to come to Him in loving submission, obediently following, and then go to heaven one day with Him. If there's a need that you have to become a Christian or to renew your commitment to the Lord and confess sins, ask for prayers, give us the opportunity. I'm doing that with you today. Won't you come as we stand and sing?